Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the works of, or the words of John Newton, from his autobiography, Out of the Depths, and then beyond his autobiography, to a later history, the wrap-up of his life. We're talking today about the illness of Miss Elizabeth Catlett first. Newton used to make excursions in the summer to different friends in the country, endeavoring to make these visits profitable to them and to their neighbors by his prayers and expositions of the scripture at their morning and evening worship. I have heard of some who were first brought to the knowledge of themselves and of God by attending his exhortations on these occasions. Indeed, besides what he undertook in a more stated way at the church, he seldom entered a room, but something both profitable and entertaining fell from his lips. After the death of Miss Cunningham and Mrs. Newton, his companion in these summer excursions was his other niece, Miss Elizabeth Catlett. This young lady, who had also been brought up by him and his wife with Miss Cunningham, now became the object of his naturally affectionate disposition. She also became quite necessary to him by her services in his latter years. She watched him, walked with him, visited wherever he went. When his sight failed, she read to him, divided his food, and was to him all that a dutiful daughter could be. But in the year 1801, a nervous disorder seized her, and Newton was obliged to allow her to be separated from him. During the year it lasted, the weight of the affliction added to his weight of years and seemed to overwhelm him. Well, it was with a mixture of delight and surprise that friends and hearers of this eminent servant of God beheld him bringing forth fruit in extreme age. Though almost 80 years old, his sight nearly gone and incapable, due to deafness, of joining in conversation, yet his public ministry was regularly continued and maintained with a considerable degree of his former energy. His memory, indeed, was observed to fail, but his judgment in divine things still remained. Though some depression of spirit was observed, which he accounted for by his advanced age, his perception, taste, and zeal for the truths he had long received and taught were evident. Like Samson, having seen the salvation of the Lord, he now only waited and prayed to depart in peace. After Newton turned 80, some of his friends feared he might continue his public ministry too long. They noted not only his infirmities in the pulpit, but the decrease of his strength and his occasional depression. On the latter, he observed that he had experienced nothing that in the least affected the principles he had felt and taught. His depressions were the natural result of 80 years, and that at any age we can only enjoy that comfort from our beliefs which God is pleased to send. But, I replied, the writer says, in the matter of public preaching, might it not be best to consider your work as done, and stop before you evidently discover you can speak no longer? I cannot stop, he said, raising his voice. What? Shall the old African blasphemer stop while he can speak? In every future visit I noticed old age making rapid strides. At length his friends found some difficulty in making themselves known to him. His sight, his hearing, and his memory failed. Being mercifully kept from pain, however, he generally appeared easy and cheerful. Whatever he uttered was perfectly consistent with the principles he had so long and so honorably maintained. Newton declined in this very gradual way, until at length it was painful to ask him a question or attempt to rouse faculties almost gone. It is quite natural to ask, although it is not important, how such a decided character left this world. I have heard him say, when he has heard particular inquiry made about the last expressions of an eminent believer, he would say, "Tell me not how the man died, but how he lived." About a month before his death, Mr. Newton said, "It is a great thing to die, and when flesh and heart fail, to have God for the strength of our heart and our portion forever. I know whom I have believed." and he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. Later, to his niece, formerly Miss Catlett, he said, I have been meditating on a subject. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Psalm 66:16. At another time he said, more light, more love, more liberty. Hereafter I hope when I shut my eyes on the things of time, I shall open them in a better world. What a thing it is to live under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. I am going the way of all flesh. And when one replied, the Lord is gracious, he answered, well, if it were not so, how could I dare to stand before him? The following is a copy of the beginning of John Newton's last will and testament. It's dated June 13, 1803. In the name of God, amen. I, John Newton, of Coleman Street Buildings, in the parish of St. Stephen, Coleman Street, in the city of London, clerk, being through mercy in good health and of sound and disposing mind, memory, and understanding, although in the 78th year of my age, do for the settling of my temporal concerns and for the disposal of all the worldly estate which it hath pleased the Lord in his good providence to give me, make this my last will and testament as follows. I commit my soul to my gracious God and Savior, who mercifully spared and preserved me when I was an apostate, a blasphemer, and an infidel, and delivered me from that state of misery on the coast of Africa into which my obstinate wickedness had plunged me, and who has been pleased to admit me, though most unworthy, to preach his glorious gospel. I rely with humble confidence upon the atonement and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man, which I have often proposed to others as the only foundation whereupon a sinner can build his hope, trusting that he will guard and guide me through the uncertain remainder of my life, and that he will then admit me into his presence in his heavenly kingdom. I would have my body deposited in the vault under the parish church of St. Mary Woolnoth, coffins of my late dear wife and my dear niece, Elizabeth Cunningham, and it is my desire that my funeral may be performed with as little expense as possible, consistent with decency. End of quote. The Wednesday before he died, when asked if his mind was at peace, he replied, I am satisfied with the Lord's will. Newton seemed sensible to his last hour, but expressed nothing remarkable after these words. He died December 21, 1807, and was buried in the vault of his church 10 days later, having left the following injunction in a letter for the direction of his executors. Quote, I propose writing an epitaph for myself, if it may be put up on a plain marble tablet near the vestry door, to the following purport. John Newton, clerk. Once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy, near 16 years at Olney, in Bucks, and years in this church. On February 1, 1750, he married Mary, daughter of the late George Catlett of Chatham, Kent. He resigned her to the Lord, who gave her on the 15th day of December, 1790. And I earnestly desire that no other monument and no inscription but to this purport may be attempted for me. End of quote. End of chapter. That's the end of the story. There is one more session I would like to spend with you reading some remarks by Newton in Familiar Conversation. That's the name of the chapter. Some things he said that were very important to hear. We'll do that one more time with Newton. Thank you for listening. And before you go, would you look around the site? We have over 3,300 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, a blog. If you desire more fellowship, consider visiting my YouTube channel at Pasture Lands, it's called, or buy one of my books at Amazon.com, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share details of our local ministry, our Saturday evening Zoom meetings for men, our Tuesday noon meeting for men and women. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on May 25, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.